Thank you, and good evening. It is a pleasure to see so many of you here and so many friends, and thank you. Thank you for being here. I gather there are not many bookmarks left, but I did have some bookmarks that were handed out, and there will be photographs of this evening, and the Facebook page for those is As in Heaven Baptist President, and there are some resources under Baptist on the Baptist website, As in Heaven. But it's great to be here and to see you all and to see so many faces that I know so well. And many of you will know that the theme that I've taken this year is As in Heaven. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as in heaven. And the back of the bookmark says, Seeking Heaven on Earth, which is really what it's all about. I love that song, that beautiful name, and Jesus couldn't get us into heaven without coming to earth and bringing heaven to us here on earth. Lovely thought there. And we know that prayer so well, don't we? We know the Lord's Prayer, we sing it, and I wonder if we need reminding of what it is actually all about. One day God's going to fulfill that prayer with trumpet blasts, cosmic firework displays, maybe. Maybe that's just apocalyptic. Let's not go into that. It's going to be different at some point. But for now, we know the kingdom of God has broken in, but we don't see it fully yet. We see a hint and a glimpse of all that God has for us, but we hunger and we thirst to see his world transformed as he intended it to be, to see heaven here on earth. And I want to tell you my 2 points at the beginning and then unpack them, so you can probably hear the first 2 points and then go to sleep, if you need to. We are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to lay down our lives for his wonderful lordship, not as a preparation for heaven. God is not preparing you for heaven. I'm sorry if that comes as a shock to you. No, God wants to get heaven into you now so that you might be channels of heaven today, tomorrow, this week, so that his kingdom might be seen in you and through you wherever you go. Whatever ministry God has called you to, and we've got a fair number of Baptist ministers here. We won't get you to wave. But actually, we're all ministers. We are all ministers of the gospel. And some of us have gifts of speaking, and some of us have gifts of making cups of tea, and some of us have gifts of listening. But God has put heaven into us that we might take heaven wherever God takes us. As a mother or a father, caring for the elderly, prayer ministry, an accountant, a gardener, a teacher, a cleaner, a social worker, a retail assistant, God wants to use you to bring heaven to earth. God has called you to be filled with his presence, with the presence of heaven, so that you might overflow to others. Having filled you with heaven, God then wants you to punch holes in the darkness. You know the old story of the gas lamp lighter who was lighting the gas lamps, and the little boy said, he's punching holes in the darkness as the gas lamp was lit, so the darkness scattered back. And that's what God calls us to do on behalf of his kingdom. God calls us to punch holes in the darkness with the light of Christ, to take the light of God's presence and make the darkness flee and bring God's goodness into it. And you tell me, what does that mean? Well, there are neighbours, there are people around who are sad and lost, the grieving, those who have been told maybe they are useless, hopeless, or valueless. Will you take the light and punch holes in the darkness for them? Will you show them God's love? And then there are the broken and the messed up, and actually, the truth be told, we're all broken and messed up if we were honest. Will you take the light and make the darkness flee for all the broken and the messed up? I love that book by Francis Bufford. I think it's called Unapologetic, an emotional defense of Christianity. He's a journalist and he's writes in lots of secular papers, and but he also has written this book in defense of Christianity. And he basically says, actually, it's all about the human propensity to mess up. But he doesn't use the word mess up. He uses the F word. But I think I'm in fairly polite company tonight, so I won't use it. But there are many people out there who will understand the F word far better than just being messed up, for they are. And you fill in the gap. The criminals, the dodgy, the unfaithful, those who know they are flawed, they need the light to shine into their darkness. They need God's people to punch holes in the darkness with love and laughter and joy and God's presence. Or maybe it's just the proud, the prejudiced, the arrogant, the angry, the selfish. They too need to hear of a God who will enable them to live differently, to have holes punched in their darkness. So how do we let heaven in, and how do we punch holes in the darkness? Well, it begins, as the Lord's Prayer tells us, with worship. How can we have anything to take to others unless we ourselves have spent time being filled with God and his presence? Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. May, Lord, we honour and respect you. May we recapture something of the vision of who God is in his greatness. Jesus knows who his Father is. And he says to us, bring your total adoration to your Father. Know that he is both Father and Lord. Recognize his sacred presence, and then you will have something to share with others. His sacred total otherness compared to who we are. Honour his perfection, his love, his mercy. Yes, he's Abba, Father. Yes, we can call him Daddy. But recognise too that he is the Lord of the universe, that he is great and mighty. Prince William does call the Queen Granny. Do you remember when she looked as though she was dropping out of a aeroplane or helicopter or whatever it was, and they said, go, Granny. But Prince William knows to call the Queen, in most circumstances when it's a formal occasion. And we need to have that ability to understand that God is both Daddy and Sovereign Lord of the universe, our hallowed Father, so that we might have all the presence of heaven within us. We are called to worship God as in heaven. And then we're called to be kingdom-centered as in heaven, to have God at the center of all we are. Lord, let your kingdom come on earth. Let it be in me. Let your will be done. Lord, may we see your presence here in Hertfordshire, wherever we've come from today. Lord, may we be as communities kingdom-centered. May we see you reign in our lives. We need to live this out, don't we? Before we can try and take things to others. You know, we make 1,000 decisions every day. Some of them important, some of them not. But actually, those significant decisions need to have a kingdom centre to them. They need to put God right at the centre so that he is guiding and leading us, letting God's will be done through us. For God can only spill out through us if we are sensitive and willing to be prompted by his Spirit, to say those things, to offer to do something, to sacrifice, to make that effort so much less than Jesus did for us. When we forget Jesus as a priority, we get caught up with so many other things, don't we? We become self-centered, we become anxious. We get caught up with good things, but maybe not the best things. We can be self-centered even in our prayers if we're not careful. And if we're not careful, we have moved from being kingdom-centered even in this, even in our worship and in our prayers, to being me-centered. And it all kind of comes down to, Lord, make me comfortable. Lord, help me feel secure. Lord, may it be as I like it. And you know, I don't think you bring heaven to earth that way. I don't think you see heaven coming into people's lives, and I don't think you punch holes in the darkness by being comfortable and secure. I think God has got so much more for us. We need to be praying to see the powerful, transforming love and grace of God at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us, to seek God's presence for those who are broken, oppressed, victims, and marginalized. I think of the prayers in the Bible, and I think of Daniel and Mary, the mother of Jesus, of Anna and Zechariah. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for the reign of God. They prayed for the transforming power of the kingdom. They prayed for anything but their own comfort. The great thing is that God, our Father, is concerned for your concerns. And he does say, bring everything to him in prayer. But he does say also, don't forget that God is concerned for the big things, for actually his kingdom being at the heart of all things, for heaven to come to earth and for God to use us in it. Somehow our vision of all that God is doing has become very small fry. And actually small things are good. God is at work. Don't despise the day of small things, it says in Zechariah. But let us have a vision of God using all these small things to change the world one life at a time, to change you and me one thought at a time, to change actually the whole structure of things one little bit at a time. So rather than praying, may your kingdom come as in heaven, somehow it has become, Lord, keep us safe. And you will know as well as I do from Aslan, from whatever it was, the book. My mind's just not in my notes this, so there you go. When the comment was made, is Aslan safe? It was Mrs. Beaver, I think, said, oh my goodness. He's good, but he's not safe. We're not called to play it safe. We are called to punch holes in the darkness. And so we seek God's presence. There you go, I've got pictures of a lion, because Aslan, I think, is one of the best pictures or images of God, and I know it doesn't capture it completely, but it's one of the ways. And so when we say we want to have God's presence amongst us, what does God's presence look like? What does it mean to have God at work in my life, your life, and our communities? Oh, we need to look at the whole of Scripture, and then we could have kind of 50 words for God, but that would take a very long time. And I've just got four, which seem to encapsulate lots of different aspects of who God is. And when we've covered those four, we will still echo with the words that Job said. These are but the outer fringes of his works. How faint the whisper we hear of him. Who then can understand the thunder of his power? God is so much greater. The God we pray to and ask to bring heaven to earth is so much greater than we can ever imagine. And we need to keep enlarging our vision of him. God is powerful. And we're not ever so comfortable with that word of power, because it's abused, misused, and it's misused in the church, let alone anywhere else. But you know, making the world is just less than a week's work for God. And I don't think we pray for God's power, God's loving, gracious power, to be at work anything like as much as we should. I don't believe we have enough faith and seek God's power to change situations, to overturn evil, to bring good. God says he can do far more than we ask or imagine. God wants us to keep asking. God wants his powerful presence to bring good to your community and mine, and to begin with us. I believe God is wanting opportunities to pour in his powerful, loving grace and presence. So when we pray as in heaven, we are praying for God in his power to be at work amongst us. And then God is holy. And holiness gets a bad press, doesn't it? Holiness sounds very clinical and cold. And yet holiness is one of the beautiful words used of God. Totally pure, without blemish, without flaw, unable to actually be compromising. That is our God. We are praying for the holiness and majesty of God that is so great that when Ezekiel saw it, all he could do was prostrate himself. And when Isaiah saw it, all he could do was fall on his knees. I think of holiness. I think of Vivian Stacey. I don't know, some of you may have known Vivian. She was a missionary. And nobody quite knew what a power-packed, godly woman she was, because she wasn't very tall and she was quite round. Nobody knew she had a PhD, I think it was, in linguistics. And she had an amazing brain, but more than that, she had an amazing love for God and a huge enjoyment of life. And she just radiated laughter and joy. And whenever she came back from the mission field, people would just kind of be like bees around the honeypot, wanting just to hear from her. And there was something about her that was totally pure and innocent and holy, and she could get into places in Pakistan that others could never get to just because here was a holy woman. But such fun and such joy to be with. That's our God. Our God is holy, but actually joyful. And our God gives us the best that there can be in life. And so we pray, may your kingdom come. May we, and we are seeking not just a few tweaks to things, but we're saying, Lord, may we be a people who are pure, who are full of your holy presence, who are truthful and honest, and our word means what it says, and people trust us, for that is what holiness is about in part. And we are praying that God might transform our hearts and our wills and our thinking and our attitudes, that we too might be increasingly holy. And then when we pray for God's presence, as in heaven, we know that God is humble. And we know that in Jesus, we see this exemplified in a multitude of ways. That Jesus, who was holding all of heaven and earth together in unity, gave it all up in humility to serve us, to lay down his life, to give himself for us. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something he could use to his advantage. He made himself nothing. He humbled himself and was obedient to death. And some of us grumble if we are asked to give a bit more or to serve a bit more. And we think, no, I can't do that. And we think of our Lord who in humility gave up so much. And actually, if we want to see heaven on earth, it's in part our privilege to follow the path of Jesus in humility, in laying down our lives, in whatever way that might look. Having the humble presence of God amongst us, not thinking in church meetings that our opinions are more important than anyone else's or that our opinion is right, that somehow together we discern the mind of Christ and we humbly submit to each other. We seek God's presence in power, in holiness, in humility, and God is also merciful. Indescribable and glorious, he's also merciful. And that, again, is a word that covers so many different things. But it is generosity, it's graciousness, it's kindness. It's summarised in those verses, a bruised reed he will not break. A smouldering wick he will not put out. If you tonight are feeling as though you're ready to break, that's the point when the mercy of God will meet you. If you think tonight that you're doing okay and you're fine, watch out. God comes to those who are broken and recognize their need and are about to be put out because the flame has got so small. Nehemiah puts it like that. You are a forgiving God. You are kind, gracious, and full of mercy and compassion. You do not become angry quickly and you have great patient love. So you do not leave, abandon, or desert your people. Imagine if our churches were like that. Imagine if people said of us, you are a forgiving church. You are kind and gracious and full of mercy and compassion. You don't become angry quickly and you have great patient love, so you do not leave, abandon or desert anyone. I know you're doing it. And I know we just seek more because we don't get it right, do we? We get it wrong so often. But when we pray as in heaven, that is what we are praying, that God's presence might be amongst us. In that way, that we might be filled with him. But we're also praying for God's reign. In heaven, God is present fully and God is reigning fully. And God wants to reign, first of all, in your life and mine, in his disciples. He wants us to surrender to Christ and Christ's lordship. He wants us to be the ones who actually are prepared to stand for what is right and good. To protect the vulnerable and the weak. And we need to pray for more people to acknowledge God's power and might in the workplace, in the street, in the neighbourhood. You see, whoever rules is the one who determines the priorities and the values. And so we are praying that it might be God who actually determines our priorities as individuals and as communities, that his kingdom, life and hope might always be the prevailing concern. Jesus, the Son of God, the hope of the world, who gave up all the glory of heaven, seeks to be the one who guides us and leads us. And we pray that we might follow him and allow his rule. And we're praying that his rule might come more and more in our lives. We look at the character of dictators around the world, or autocrats. And we think of Donald Trump. You might not want to, sorry about that. But we think of Donald Trump and we think of his rule as one that's trying to make America great again at the expense of so many others. We think of President Mugabe, who seems to have a rule that is about just gaining wealth and power and oppressing everybody who opposes him. We think of global corporations who are there making a profit and keeping many others poor, or caliphates aiming to control and repress. God's perfect reign is so different. God's reign is for all people. God's reign is for all nations, for all backgrounds, for all languages. And his reign is to bring joy, to bring life, to bring forgiveness, to bring hope and a future to everyone. It is to prioritise those who know they are in need. It is for the broken and the failures. And God starts with us. And unless we recognise our brokenness and our failings, then actually the reign of God cannot be in our lives. And we need to come every day and seek God's rule in our lives. And then we are seeking God's to reign in heavenly values. What are the values that lead your church? We've got some lovely values here for Croxley Green. And most of us can actually recite what our values are. What are our values when we don't agree about things? What are our values when actually we're under pressure? What are our values when the money's a bit tight and when things are difficult? We need to seek heaven's values all the time, even when we're under pressure. And heaven's values are described in a multitude of ways again. We heard some of them in Psalm 89. We heard of right living and peace, kissing, of love and truth meeting, of loyalty and holiness, of justice leading the way. And that goes for organisations and structures and committees. And what I've summed it up as, I rather like the term exquisite goodness. We are seeking heaven's values, God's exquisite goodness in everything we do, in all that we are, that actually God might be at work in all situations. You see, God is so good that sometimes we think he's unfair because he's kind to everyone and we think some people don't deserve it. But when we pray as in heaven, we are praying that everything we do might be done with the exquisite goodness of God, with his rule and reign. One of the churches I visited since becoming president is Beacon International, it sounds very grand. It is not a grand church, but it is a church that is punching holes in the darkness. They have a vision for bringing God's kingdom to the whole of Staffordshire. That's a bit of a vision for you, isn't it? They have grown from 120 to 500 followers of Jesus in 8 congregations in 5 years. They don't believe in mega church. They believe in lots of different churches in different villages. They have a passion that they believe that by 2020 they will have 20 churches, and that by 2030 they will have 50 churches. And that's not about numbers. It's about saying we want to see God's kingdom come. Alex Harris, the pastor, actually says it's about bringing Christ to people in need. And they want to show the exquisite goodness of God on estates, in pubs, in cafes, on a business park, wherever they are. I met recently with 5 church leaders, all of whom are seeing significant growth in their fellowship, conversions and baptisms. How are they doing it? They are simply seeking God's presence intensely and intentionally, praying specifically, taking risks at great personal cost, emotionally and spiritually. And they are seeing the kingdom come as in heaven. As you are seeing the kingdom come as in heaven. And there are similar stories across our land. But actually what they have in common is they are taking seriously God's call to seek him. They are taking seriously God's call to bring heaven to earth. They are holding each other accountable. And they are saying, we can't do this, but God in us can. And when they don't think someone's actually measuring up, they will tell them. There was the shocking story of somebody who offered his pastor £20 for the new development and project of the church. And the pastor said to him, I cannot accept that £20. It is an insult to God. For some of us, £20 is a lot. But the pastor knew that that person had bought a £50,000 car the previous week. I wonder how many of us are prepared to stand up for the kingdom of God and hold each other accountable and say that is not honouring to God. I don't think I am, but anyhow, that's another story. But actually, so we are seeking God's presence and God's reign. And we are saying, may your kingdom come in me, for I cannot point a finger at you and say, you need the kingdom to come. I need God's kingdom to come. And so often we forget the greatness and power of God for ourselves, for our communities, for our nation. Tomorrow morning you may get a big bill and you may panic and say, how am I going to pay that? Ask your Heavenly Father how you're going to pay it. Ask God to see you and to lead you forward. How is your church going to deal with something? Seek God. And then go to the big stuff. How are we going to do with those government issues, those wars, those epidemics, that brokenness that is all around us? Our citizenship is in heaven, and one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But for the time being, we are called to have a holy discontent with things as they are. We are to seek to bring God's heaven to earth. So will you get yourselves filled with the presence of God, with love, grace, power, holiness, joy, hope, justice? Let it spill out to others, particularly those you serve. And then will you go punch holes in the darkness? Open the doors to the dark places where hatred, unkindness, pain and lostness exist, and pour in heaven on earth. And words I've used before, and unashamedly I use them again, from Steve Holmes. And I think about heaven on earth. I think about love that cannot be conquered. I think about justice that will not be denied. I think about joy that can never be repressed. I think about an incomprehensible future when justice and joy will reign. I think about the passionate kiss of righteousness and peace. And I pray, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Amen.